Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. BJ, do you want to know what's so great about NBA 2K25?
What's that?
Today, they had an announcement, and you can now play in FIBA competition in NBA 2K25. So watching all of this Olympic stuff, you're going to be able to play some FIBA basketball in the game as well. So if you want to support the show, you can hit the link in the description and pre-order your copy now. It helps us do what we do. It's myself, Mo Mutsi. Today, I'm with Mr. BJ Armstrong. Now, Mr. BJ Armstrong, who didn't want to hear from me until he refused. I'm going to tell the audience this. He refused to talk to me until the USA took the lead, and then he wouldn't stop calling me.
How do you know that I refused to talk to you?
Because I called you at halftime. You said, Mo, I don't want to hear from you. You said, Mo, I don't want to hear from you. And then as soon as the USA took the lead with like 3 minutes to go.
No, as soon as the score was tied. No, Mo, as soon as the score was tied, I said what? What did I say?
You called me.
I called you and I said, what did I say?
You say, got to give MB credit.
No, I said, quote, now we're going to find out who's who.
We did indeed.
In the last 3 minutes and 39 seconds of the game.
We did indeed.
Because no one knew what was going to happen. You know, Serbia jumped out, which they were playing amazing. The U.S. Yep. came back and tied it up in the fourth.
Yep.
And Serbia I didn't call you when the U.S. went up. I called you when the score was tied. With Serbia having the ball. And I said, let's find out who's who. Mm. That's what I said. Now, is that what you said.
And then,
in the last 3 minutes and 39 seconds, we found out who was who.
And then you said, you got to give Embiid credit. And we hung up the phone. And yeah. 1 second later, I saw Embiid dribble the ball off his foot.
And then you called me right back.
I said, it's crunch time. Look at him crumbling.
But
if you missed the game, boy, you better go and watch the game. It was an all-time classic, yes. One of the best Olympic basketball games I've ever seen. And Stephen Curry with 36 points, 9 of 14 from behind the arc, going along with 8 rebounds to save Steve Kerr's legacy for the millionth time. Steph Curry doing what he does. LeBron James gave them 16 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. Kevin Durant iced the game at the end. He only had 9 points, a quiet night by his standards. But you know when they talk about in international basketball, you find out the hierarchy. That's who Team USA went to with a little help from Carmelo on the sidelines, drawing it up. They gave KD the ball.
Coach Carmelo.
And we found out who was who. We found out who they want taking that shot, and it was Kevin Durant. Credit to him. But we do have to give credit to the Serbians, who lost by just 4 points. An absolutely amazing performance to be within touching distance of taking out one of the most talented teams we've ever seen assembled. You know, they just kind of looked like they ran out of gas at the very end. You know, the Team USA defense stepped up. Serbia made a couple sloppy turnovers, and that was the end of it. But before that, you know, Steph Curry scoring all these threes, USA are scoring, but Serbia are matching the scoring for the entirety of the game. BJ, do you feel more or less confident about the gold medal now after watching that?
Well, first of all, I want to say this about Serbia. That was a masterclass. Coaching, execution. Okay, let's say this right now. Jokic is the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's end all of the debates about who's who and what's what and all. Currently, right now, Jokic is the most dominant player.
And he had a cold night. He was 0-for-6 from 3, but he had 17 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds. And if a couple of those threes had gone in, this would be a very different episode.
Yes, yeah, okay. I mean, that's about the only thing he didn't do. That's about the only thing he did do. Okay. He is without question, he's the best player in the world. They had a beautiful game plan. Their great player played great. Their role players played great. Bogdanović stepped up. The coaches did an amazing job. It's just USA. Hey, they had an amazing contribution from Steph Curry. If without Steph Curry, I don't know where this goes, right? Steph Curry was simply that performance just kept them in the game, but they needed something and they got something at the correct time. So Steph Curry was fabulous. We asked, why was Joel Embiid on the team? If Joel Embiid is not on Team USA, because there's no other player that could even match up with him, right?
They put LeBron on him. Down the stretch, he let LeBron guard Jokic. Yes, Jokic guarded Embiid, but Embiid didn't want to guard Jokic.
But you said it best. It looked like they ran out of energy at the end of the game a little bit. Fatigue, well, had to set in. I mean, that was a high-paced, high-energy game, and you need depth. They put everything but the kitchen sink at Joel and against Jokic, and he still was incredible. However, you know, it's just a great job by Team USA. I can't say anything other than they gutted it out. They kept themselves in the game. They made big defensive plays when they needed them. They made big offensive shots. Kevin Durant and company. Steph Curry made shots. LeBron made some key plays coming down the stretch. Joel Embiid made key plays. And they just hung around, and they gave themselves a chance. So give them credit. What a game. What a game. I'm going to watch the replay just so I can learn more about the, you know, what it takes. I mean, they play, when I say they, both teams play at a championship caliber level. Unfortunately, someone had to lose the game. And in this case, Serbia lost, but that game could have gone either way. Bravo, great game. And I'm looking forward to watching it again, just so I can kind of see what possibly could have been done differently.
But it's like overall, you said on the show last week, or even the week before, these teams don't want to show their full hand. And in the warm-up games and even in the group games, the Serbia that we saw against the US was very different to the Serbia we saw today. Right. I said it in the last episode, you know, maybe it's third time lucky. And, you know, they went to their zone defense early. They had a few things, a few little adjustments that caused some real problems for Team USA. But my question is this. Team USA won this game because of their defensive intensity down the stretch. Where was that defense the entirety of the game? Because this wouldn't have been such a close game had they simply locked in from the start.
Well, Mo, a lot of times you play defense to have that spurt, right? Your best offense is your defense. And you don't know when carelessness is going to happen by the opposing team. You don't know when you're going to get that key turnover. And you don't know when fatigue is going to set in. But you just keep applying the pressure. That's what USA team did. I mean, you got to do it for 40 minutes. And, Bo, it was basically a three-minute stretch in there where Serbia didn't handle the pressure. Basically, it was about a two-minute stretch in that game. The game was – listen, if you tell both coaches it's going to be tied with –
three and a half minutes,
and it's your ball. You take those chances. Okay. Mm-hmm. The game is going to be tied with 3 minutes and 39 seconds. Okay. What was the turning point in the game? We always say these things. Oh, defense wins championships. Well, Mo, this was another example. It wasn't offense that won the game. It was the team that was going to get stops on the defensive end. USA did it. Serbia didn't. That was the difference in the game. It wasn't anything else other than it was like a two-minute stretch where it was just a little lapse, you know? And unfortunately for Serbia, because they played a beautiful game. They had a great game plan. Everyone came to play. I mean, the intensity was at all-time level. The coaches were getting technicals. The substitution patterns were great. It was just defense always allows you to stay in the game. And that was another example of why if you're going to win a championship, you must play defense. You can't rely just on your offense to do it. And give USA credit. They hung in there. They really did. I mean, that was a shot miss here or there. This thing is over. But mm-hmm. they hung in there. Their defense kept them in the game. And once they had a chance to win it, I mean, I think Steph Curry made a three to put them up one, and they never looked back.
Absolutely. You know, shout out to Coach Carmelo as well. Because I feel like when they stopped listening to Steve Kerr and they started listening to Melo instead, that's when this game really turned around.
Stop it.
Stop what?
Coach Kerr.
What was Kerr's game plan going into this game?
They won. That's all I know.
No. What was his game plan going into this game?
They won.
Tell me.
They won. They won.
They did. They won. They did. They did. But they didn't win because of his coaching. They won in spite of his lack of coaching.
They won. Bo, they won.
They did. They did by the skin of their teeth. They did win by the skin of their teeth. And they could have very easily lost.
And they're advancing. That's it. I'm not sure what the game plan was as far as what they were trying to do to attack or exploit, you know, Serbia. It's hard to beat a team three times in a row, which they did. But this was a tough one. This was quite a game, and Serbia had a chance. They had a chance.
Well, we'll see what game plan he comes up with to face Victor Wembanyama and the French team in the final. So we'll see. But once again, it's another game with no Jason Tatum.
Oh,
interesting to me.
I know.
You're playing a game where you're watching it and you could really use a 6'9" versatile defender who can score the basketball, get out in transition, and he's just sitting there on the bench. I need someone to tell me why. I want to know what he did to Steve Kerr that he's just been exiled in this way. That's an NBA champion right there.
Yeah, I have no idea. And you know, coaching is a very difficult thing to do. You know, I have the utmost respect for coaching, and that's a tough seat. I can't give you a legitimate explanation of a player of that talent. We can't find, okay, maybe we can't play him 18 to 20 minutes. I get that. But you can't tell me he can't get in the game and contribute in some capacity. I don't understand it. I don't know. But it is what it is. And
you know, Anthony Edwards didn't have a great game. Some of his decision-making out there was kind of awful. He had, you know, the same amount of points as turnovers. And you're looking at him like, okay, we get this is your rotation that you've decided before the game, but maybe just change it a little bit.
I don't understand it. You know, maybe we should do a podcast after all of this is over with to try to figure it out. I can't understand it. I don't know, but I'm sure this will be part of some press conference in the near future of what is going on. I mean, this is Jason Tatum for crying out loud. I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, but they won, and you know, they still, when I say they, Team USA still has an opportunity to accomplish what they set out to accomplish, which is to get a gold medal at the 24 Olympics.
Absolutely. And in the final, they'll be taking on France for that gold medal game, who defeated Germany 73-69 today in a close game. Another one that went right down to the wire. The French team decided to stick with the lineup, which has Gobert on the bench. It was an interesting game all around. Wembanyama finished with just 11 points, but he had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks, doing his thing on the defense side of the ball. Cordinier and Yabusele, the stars of the quarterfinal, they had 16 and 17 apiece. Over for Germany, your favorite Dennis Schroeder, he had 18. Franz had 10, but they were the only double-digit scorers on the German side. Mm. What was your takeaway from this one?
Another game that was just amazing, right? It was just an incredible game. You know, great players just have a way of just showing up in big moments. And again, our guy Victor just shows up. And great win. There's something about playing in front of your home crowd that it energizes the team. The building was electric. It was very emotional for France. And I can't recall the last time the home country is playing in the finals in basketball, right? Do we have a stat for that, Mo? Do we know that stat? Or
if you give me 1 minute, I can figure that out. The last time would have been, oh, we're going back a while now. We're going back. I don't know if they ever have. Or Atlanta, obviously, 96.
Okay.
96 Olympics in Atlanta, yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
84 Los Angeles, USA win. Yugoslavia. Would Moscow have been part of Yugoslavia? No, that would have been still Russia back then in 1980. No. But yeah, so it doesn't happen often.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as I told you, it was going to be a battle, or what I thought it was going to come down between the contributions of Schroeder and Wembanyama. Who's going to want it? And Victor, he's just so impactful as a player. And what a great job by France. I mean,
yeah, and
that's an amazing accomplishment. That's an amazing accomplishment.
A horrible shooting night, 6 of 27 from behind the arc. That's 22%. And they still found a way to pull this out. I think Wembanyama's presence alone on the defensive end, right. Not to mention all the shots that he blocks, all the shots that he alters, is just such a huge impact. You know, Germany started this game with a big emphasis on attacking into the paint early. And they were up after the first quarter. And I was watching the first quarter and it's kind of like, well, Wemby's been kind of passive so far. But then, you know, he woke up in the second quarter. They tied up by halftime. And then they never really looked back. It's a solid win. But do you think France have what it takes to take down this USA team? Because I think Serbia are better than France. And Serbia couldn't get it done.
I agree with that. But again, this is what we eat. They have an X factor. Wembanyama is capable. Now, I don't know if he's capable yet, but due to his inexperience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At some point, he will be sitting in Jokic's place as the best player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. And we know when you give a great player an opportunity to be great, more times than not, they're gonna meet that challenge. That's why they're great players. Victor Wembanyama, like Steph Curry today, is going to have his breakout signature game and moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it might not be at this Olympics, but he's going to have, ladies and gentlemen, a moment in international play, just like he's going to create his moments in the NBA. That's going to be those moments. This is a massive win for Team USA. They should be feeling great. They played a lot of minutes, all those things. But at some point here, Victor Wembanyama is going to have one of those 30-point games in international play. At some point, he's going to do it. Like now, you just hope it's not Saturday versus Team USA. You hope?
I do.
Yeah.
Because just think about it. Allow me to dream for a second.
Okay? Go right ahead.
Allow me to dream for a second.
Yes.
This insanely electrifying and talented USA squad, if they were to fall at the feet of Victor Wembanyama in the gold medal game,
right?
Okay, at the age of what? How old is Wemby now?
20
years old. If the 20-year-old Victor Wembanyama can win this game on Saturday night, he is on trajectory to be the greatest basketball player of all time.
That if I agree.
He can take Evan Fournier, Nicholas Batum, Gershon Yabusele, Isaiah Cordinier, and beat this USA team, then we are looking at the greatest player to walk the earth.
Without question, when you say greatest, this will be a moment.
It's a big if, though. 1% chance if is what I'm giving it. But the thing about a 1% chance is out of every 100 times it happens, it could be that time.
Yeah, exactly. That's, it's kind of like Muhammad Ali, you know. You got to have those upsets. Just like, you know, when you saw, you know, Jordan and these guys scoring 60 points in the playoff. You know, it's like these moments. Or you saw Magic Johnson win the finals his rookie year. They have these moments. If he does that, Mo, you and I will be talking about this moment 20 years, 30 years from now. We'll be talking about this moment going, remember when such a man, that was unreal. Like, this is the stage is set. It'll be one of those moments that the world will be talking about. I mean, it can't get any bigger. It's David versus Goliath. And believe it or not,
David's taller than Goliath.
Yes.
And it's, it, think of all the storylines, you know, Embiid turned down the chance to play for France after getting a French passport. Now he's in France, going up against France for the gold medal game. You know, for LeBron, Steph, and KD, this is their last run at things. And you saw how much it meant to them after this Serbia game finished tonight. You know, after this Olympics, I don't know if Steve Kerr's going to get more coaching jobs. So this is a big, important game.
This is for everybody. For Steph Curry, this is his last Olympics.
And here's the thing. All the pressure is on USA. The French are playing with house money. All 100% of the pressure is on USA.
And the crowd is going to be going berserk. Every time MB touches the ball, you know what's going on.
But I'll tell you what's difficult, right? As much as the crowd, because we experienced this in the 22 finals, Boston versus Golden State. In the games that were in Boston, as much as you can cheer for your team and boo the opponent, if Steph Curry plays like he did against Serbia, the whole crowd just stops for a second and thinks, oh, holy, you know, like, wow, this guy's just insane. That's the X factor that Team USA have, is they have players capable of achieving moments of brilliance that can bring even the most hostile crowds to a moment of recognition for that greatness.
You know, I was looking at Steph Curry today, and you know what's interesting about his impact on the game is when you start playing defense, the game shrinks. You know, like the defense, like Team USA today, they were playing so physical and so active that the game, it looked like Serbia couldn't move around. But when Steph Curry gets cooking, the game seems like it opens up because you have to extend your defense to guard him. It's not the other way where you're like, let's sink and help. Like Jokic, he had like literally two or three guys guarding him. And it was just like his ability to pass to the open guy. Well, Steph Curry, the defense just seems to be spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, think about it. There were layups, you know. LeBron James gets a layup. Steph Curry gets a layup. All because he's making these shots. Kevin Durant gets like mid-range shots. Joel Embiid, I think, got a mid-range shot because everyone is helping and spreading out to guard Steph Curry. So, again, it was a great game. You know, it's fascinating to watch, but I'm sure, Mo, you will be cheering for France.
I'm cheering for Jason Tatum. And if they don't play him, I'll cheer for France.
Well, it could be a pretty good chance that they might not. It could be.
Here's something funny. Our friend Mark Spears spoke to Anthony Davis after the game. He says, this is the quote from Anthony Davis. He says, I've only got two words. Steph Curry, Joel Embiid.
Okay. Why would? Okay, you know what? I want you to call Mark Spears.
That's an all-time quote. That's an all-time quote. Oh, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. All right, well, BJ, now we've got the final set, USA versus France. We have a question. We have a lot of questions remaining from last time we did this, and we're going to get through them over the next week or so. But Big Con asked, as the best players are mainly from Europe, would you be more likely to recommend that prospects consider playing in a professional league overseas for a year or two before going to the draft rather than going to college in the US? Now, watching this Olympics, you're seeing the caliber of players that play over in Europe and what they can do against the best opponents in the NBA. Do you think if you're a high school prospect, it would be beneficial for you to go and play in Europe rather than go into college?
I do not. And the reason being is, let's not forget the end game, or in this case, the NBA is played under NBA rules. I don't recommend for young people to be able to play in a game where the game is more physical without quite the physicality of the game today was beautiful. I thought I was watching, you know, how the NBA used to be played, right?
Jokic, you're watching real basketball. That's what you're watching.
Yeah, these were men, right? They were, it's physical. You go to the basket, you expect to get hit. Guys were taking hard fouls. It wasn't none of this two shots and the ball on the side. No, you got a hard foul, you took it out, and you kept playing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The game was played through the post on both sides of the ball. What a surprise. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. All of this five out stuff. Now Curry was shooting, but clearly Team USA was trying to establish themselves in the painted area, right? You have to do it in international play. I don't think that's a good transition for American players would come there for a year or two. Now, if you grew up that way, I think it's great because it's easier to pull back the physicality than to all of a sudden have to play in high school, then go over there, learn how to play physical, and then come back over here and learn how to play the way they play today. So, but I love what they're playing, how they play. And the thing I love about the international game is the coaching. I think the coaching, you know, I think they've surpassed us as far as the coaching. I think the international coaches and the way they coach and how demanding they are, I think that that's to me, that's been the most significant out of all. On a whole, and it's not one coach or whatever, but on a whole, I think the coaching is better right now in Europe in the way that they teach the game, they play the game, and the way they demand that the players play. Very rarely do you see a guy just come down and just take a shot, just dribble up to the three and shoot a shot. Very rarely, if at all. Like, they're going to run something, move the ball, ball movement, player movement, and everyone can pass. Mm. That's what I love about the international game. Everyone can pass. That's like a requirement to play. Very rarely will you see someone who can't pass the ball. So I think it's a beautiful way to play. I do think if you are experienced enough, is it beneficial? Absolutely. But a young player coming out of high school, I don't think that would be my first choice to learn how to play basketball is coming to Europe, living in a foreign country, playing the game, knowing very well that you got to come back here if you're good enough to do that.
Mm. Oh, I hear it. Well, time is going to tell. On Saturday night. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm expecting USA blowout win. I'm not going to lie. I would be very shocked if it was anything else. But what's your prediction for it, BJ?
I'm expecting Team USA because of their depth. Right? I think someone off their bench, KD, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, they're capable.
Leaves the bench.
Yeah, they're capable, right? They're big guys showed up tonight. I mean, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, you know, they all play great. But I just think it's too much depth on their side. But again, if there anyone could step up and play that game, if anyone can step up and, I mean, they literally could play zone and you could take away the total interior of the game.
Mm-hmm.
France I think can do it.
The part that worries me, though, is the France's lack of guard play at the point guard position, leading to turnovers, and then USA just dominating transition.
Yeah, that's where I agree. I agree that is a concern. However, if they can control that,
mm-hmm.
they also could control the interior of the game. They have the ability to control the interior of the game.
They do.
But again, you know, their defense, whoever can establish defensively that they can control that part of the ball, I think wins the game. And if you're just saying today, I think it's Team USA, and I think they get the gold and France gets the silver.
Well, only time's going to tell. We'll be back on Monday morning to break it all down for you. So make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until next time, much like Steph Curry tonight against Serbia, get buckets.